What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another live stream from the Engadget Podcast. We're responding to Apple's iPhone 16 event, which just ended. I'm senior editor Devendra Hardwar. Today, I'm joined with contributing reporter Chris Holt. Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Hey, pretty good, Devendra. How are you?
Happy to have you here, Chris. And just want to say a quick shout out to our chat here. Hello, folks. Thank you for joining us. We're going to basically just chat about what we just heard about. Chris, when we were getting ready to cover this launch event at Engadget, I put in the chat, prepare to be whelmed. And I feel that is pretty much it, right? Like the rumors were pretty much all true. We have an iPhone 16, we have a 16 Pro, they're built for Apple Intelligence. There are camera buttons. The Pros have gotten a little bigger, but beyond that, there's not much else. They're still pretty much the same phones as before. What are your first impressions on these things?
No, I think the most surprising thing to me is there's Wi-Fi 7 in these phones. That's the only thing I think we didn't hear about. And even then, not that many people are going to have Wi-Fi 7 routers right now. So,
yeah.
I don't know how useful that's going to be.
Hello for Wi-Fi 7. But I guess last year I picked up the 15 Pro Max. I did not expect to go to the biggest one. But that switch to the titanium case last year is like profound. Like it's one of those subtly profound things. I think it was like around 7-10% weight reduction. And I really felt that. And I feel like that's a great phone. That phone still supports Apple Intelligence. The plain 15 does not. And I feel like there's just no reason for me to upgrade. But, there's everybody else with the older phones. Do you think the push for Apple Intelligence, with all these features we've seen so far, do you think that's enough to encourage people to upgrade? Or do you think Apple still needs to show us more about its like AI ambitions?
I don't think so. I think for most people, it's not going to change that much. Because most people are going to upgrade because their phones are getting outdated and they can't watch Netflix on their phones anymore. Right. So
yeah,
I think what's most interesting to me about Apple Intelligence is that more by accident than by design, they're going to have kind of a pixel update kind of cadence to the rollout. You're not going to get Apple Intelligence features next week. They're going to start coming in October, and then you're going to get more month by month. And it gives Apple new things to talk about every month, which might be new for them in terms of having big features to come back to and try to sell people on an iPhone 16. But by itself, I don't think it's going to be enough.
Have you tried the betas yet, Chris?
No, not yet.
You're not that brave. I feel like they're pretty stable right now, right? So I will say, I think the thing I like the most about the betas is, and I've told Trillin this, is that just the new Siri look is very nice. Like, it is a very soothing thing when Siri flashes pink and fills the screen rather than the little circle in the middle. I do feel like you can send multiple commands. So we're talking about the advanced Siri now. You could do multiple commands. They also showed off like some computer vision stuff, which feels a lot like Google Lens, like pointing, you know, Siri at a sign and have it put it into your calendar, or very awkwardly take a picture of somebody's dog. Instead of asking them what breed this dog is, you can ask Siri, you can take a picture with Siri and Siri will tell you. I guess it'll be useful for some people.
Yeah, I think it might make social interactions less common. Just have more people rudely shoving their phones into people's pets and restaurant storefronts and that kind of thing, instead of just asking someone.
Yeah.
What the information is that we're looking for?
Yeah, we're thinking about what are our follow-up pitches to this event. I think one of them is talk to people. It's okay to talk to strangers. In fact, it can be kind of thrilling, and you may learn something about that person and yourself. But yeah, a lot of these AI features seem like they exist to kind of like isolate us a little more. So that's kind of odd. What are you running right now? What is your phone, Chris?
I'm still sticking with the iPhone 12. Nothing I saw today has got me excited enough to upgrade. I'm happy to wait another year. We've heard from Mark Gurman that there's supposed to be a thinner iPhone next year, which I'm all about.
Yeah.
Very much to have that. Foldables are less interesting to me, but a smaller iPhone in this day and age that's not an SE is something I'm looking forward to.
I think it's one of the... Have you tested or have you touched the new iPad Pros, which have that like similar super thin aesthetic?
Not yet. I've seen them in person. They do look nice.
Go to an Apple store, and I recommend this to listeners and viewers. I think if you want to really understand like what Apple's getting at with those devices, it just feels like impossible is the thing. Like, it feels like this device shouldn't exist because of how thin it is. I don't know if that's truly wise. I think for battery life reasons, for thermal reasons, we may not want to be doing that with our phones. I don't mind a slightly, you know, thicker phone. But I guess, as we heard from Mark, I think a couple weeks ago, the ultra-thin iPhone design that they have in the works for next year, that could be the big design change we're waiting for. Foldable, who knows, like, if that will even happen in the iPhone lineup. That could be more an iPad mini type of deal. I feel like that's just all we have to look forward to. Do you have any thoughts about the camera button or the new camera features either on the 16 and the 16 Pro, Chris?
Yeah, I do like the camera button. I think a lot of people, that's going to be the big selling point for the 16 for most people.
Mm-hmm.
Who just use their iPhone to take photos of everything. They don't have a DSLR. They mm-hmm. just have a point and shoot in their pocket, and having a dedicated button that they can just press and take a photo right away. No way to assume there's going to be very little time between pressing the button and actually taking a photo. Mm-hmm. So, and having the swipe to zoom feature is kind of cool as well.
The fact that that button does so many things all at once is kind of nifty, I guess. It's more interesting. People kept bringing up, like, yes, Sony CyberShot cameras back in the day also had the Xperia phones, also had, like, onboard buttons. A bunch of other people have done it too. HTC has done it. That stuff was always cool, but they were mechanical buttons. They were kind of finicky, and also those phones themselves were not that great. So how do you bring that functionality onto a device more people will actually want to buy that isn't super expensive like those old Sonys? I feel like this is a good, maybe not a standalone selling point, but a really nifty thing for anybody who is getting these new phones. I feel like a lot of people want this feature in general, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think for anyone who's been waiting to upgrade and seeing what the iPhone 16 features are, if it's worth the extra $100 to go for that instead mm-hmm. of go with the 15 instead, it might be worthwhile.
Yeah. It's funny, you mentioned you have an iPhone 12, Chris, and I think Apple specifically was like, hey, $800 trade-in offer for the iPhone 12 if you want one of these new phones. Those trade-in offers are insane because I upgraded my wife's phone. She had a 12 before. I upgraded her to a 15 last year. And because of all the machinations, all the deals at Verizon, like, essentially, they paid me like $50 to get a new phone. I don't know how that works. But that sort of stuff, they're kind of pushing people to upgrade. Would you want to take advantage of those? Or I know you're in Canada, right? So you don't get the same sort of level of deals that we see in the US.
I think you get something like that for mm-hmm. sure. If I can upgrade to 16 for like $100 or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, why not? And then just do the same again next year. It's not going to be a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, these upgrade offers are just wild. Especially in the States.
They're bonkers. I do think U.S. carriers have always used that as like a carrot to get us into their contracts. And you can really make bank if you have a phone that is within the upgrade period. Take a look, folks. Like, even if you have an iPhone 12, like, that deal, the $800 deal, is a four-year-old phone now at this point. Like, that's a pretty solid deal for that thing. Did anything else strike you as really interesting from these new phones, Chris? Like, we have a better ultra wide camera right now. That's kind of cool. I know people complained about the old one was like 12 megapixels. And if you like leaned in too close to some shots, like when it does the macro stuff, I think you lose quality on even the iPhone 15 Pro and everything. So I guess that's a nice benefit, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think like having a proper macro mode on the base models is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be a huge difference because people who cared about that, they're going to have a Pro anyway with the nicer cameras. But it's a nice to have.
It's nice to have. I think it's one of those things. I'm thinking of the other interesting thing, and I wrote this up, is that these phones are powered by the A18 and A18 Pro chips. For the past couple of years, Apple has essentially taken the iPhone, the Pro model chips, and scaled it down to the entry-level iPhones or the base-level iPhones the following year. Easy way to cut production costs. And also, those are still pretty capable chips. So I think for those lower level phones, I don't think those users really care. But I guess it is interesting that Apple Intelligence is such a big leap that, okay, everybody needs new RAM. Everybody needs more RAM. Everybody needs more powerful neural engines. Do you have any thoughts on that, Chris, just in terms of, I guess, what this means for the iPhone lineup?
Yeah, I was taking a look around just very quickly before we started to see if there was a RAM upgrade on the 16. I think there would have to be.
They didn't say it. Apple rarely talks about memory, but yeah, we need to look at the specs. Yeah.
Digging around very quickly for that. But I think a RAM upgrade on the 16 would be very useful, just in as an all-round thing for making things run more smoothly, whether or not people are using Apple Intelligence features, just for browsing the web, like my Chrome stutters on my 12.
Juggling like multiple, like jumping from a game, a game you shouldn't be playing during work, to Slack, to something else. Like juggling those things is a lot better when you have more RAM. The iPhone 15 had 6 gigabytes of RAM. That's because it was running the older chip that was on the 14 Pro, and the 15 Pro had 8 gigabytes of RAM. So I'm expecting like the A17, the A18 chips to essentially be at least 8 gigabytes, potentially more. I'm interested in seeing like how will these new chips compare to the A17 Pro, at least when it comes to Apple Intelligence features, because the numbers they talked about were kind of minimal. Like they said at most 15% overall performance improvement over the A17 Pro, twice as fast real-time ray tracing. But I do think not many games really take advantage of that. Unless you're playing the AAA games, that is a thing in the graphics you won't really be taking advantage of very much, but it's nice to have. Yeah, I guess for 15 Pro and Pro Max users, it's not much of a selling point. But for base level iPhone users, like, this is killer, because you'll likely get more memory, you'll have the camera button, you'll have better cameras in general. Like, this is pretty solid, but not for the pro users, basically. Yeah.
No, exactly. I think one thing worth mentioning there is, you know, people in the EU can now play Fortnite on their iPhones again.
Yes, they can.
You know, those ray tracing upgrades, you might see the world of difference if you play Fortnite on your phone.
Not really. I mean, does mobile Fortnite even support ray tracing? I thought it was like mainly for Resident Evil and the bigger games. Yeah, people are saying like Deeper Nine says Resident Evil 7 on the iPhone is definitely awesome right now. Have you played anything? You've got an iPhone 12, but like you could still run a lot of like high-end games. Is gaming and higher-end gaming a thing you think people will want on their iPhones, Chris?
I think it's, it annoys me about playing games on the phone as the dynamic island, just because it cuts out a very important part of the screen.
Yeah.
That's kind of one reason I'm stuck with the 12, right? Just because it's at the cutouts at the edge.
You don't really, you know, I would say we talked about that too. Like you, I think conceptually just start to forget about that. It kind of disappears from my frame of reference. Even while I'm watching video and I try to full screen all the way, it's there, but it's not that big a deal. I can't think of any games where it became a real problem for me is the thing. So yeah. Anything else? So the iPhones, hey, we have an iPhone, iPhone 16, iPhone 16 Pro, and Pro Max. The Pros are slightly larger because the bezels are slightly thinner. That's kind of cool. Not a huge deal, but again, kind of cool. Anything on the iPhones you want to shout out, Chris? Because there's some other hardware we should talk about.
Yeah, I'm glad at least with the Pros, they're not making the phone physically larger, but they're still managed to make the screen size a bit bigger. I'm glad that that's the approach they've taken, at least.
Yeah, most definitely. Like I don't want these to get much, much bigger. And the fact that they added titanium last year, like they're all about reducing the weight, even though the screen may be getting larger. Let's talk about titanium, by the way, because that is now an option on the new Apple Watch Series 10. And it's one of those things where it sounds like a pure marketing fluff from Apple. But last year I had an order for the iPhone 15 Pro, the smaller one, locked in. Then I went to an Apple store after launch day. I wanted to feel the Max, just to feel like, does this make a difference? And I felt that Max. And within 5 seconds, I was like, oh, I need to get this phone because this actually feels perfectly fine. I was usually I wasn't a big believer in big phones, but the titanium made a huge difference. So to see that was already in the Apple Watch, but they're dropping stainless steel, right? And now titanium is now the thing alongside aluminum. So that's kind of interesting. Is that compelling at all to you?
Yeah, it is. I got a Series 9 last year. It's my first Apple Watch. Just stuck with the standard aluminum one. But if I was getting a Series 10, I think I'd go for the titanium. Just because the aluminum gets scratched up so easily.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think the extra durability of the titanium would be the way to go.
And the 10 also has, in addition to that, like the screen is bigger. And it looks dramatically thinner. Like they say 9.7 millimeters thin. It is nearly 10% thinner than the S9. Series 10 weighs almost 20% less than the S9 with the titanium body. That is Big screen, lighter weight. That is a killer combination that I think will tempt over a lot of people. I have a Series 4, which was like the first big redesign after they launched the Apple Watch. And I liked that for a while, but I just don't use it that much anymore. I'm tempted, like with all the health features and the safety features and whatnot. I think I may have sleep apnea. I don't know. This thing will actually tell me. So that's kind of cool that an Apple Watch can do that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, mm-hmm. I'm interested to see how that works with the Series 9 because I have sleep apnea. And my machine also measures that and it connects to the health app as well. So I'm interested to see like how the stats measure up between like my CPAP machine and my Apple Watch to see.
That would I'm hoping. I think you were throwing post ideas out there, Chris. So that would be something I'm sure a lot of people would love to read. But I think just like the sleep apnea detection too is just like, I think a lot of people are dealing with it and aren't realizing it. Because unless you are sleeping next to somebody who's, hey, I hear you, you just stop breathing at night. That seems worrying. A lot of people just wake up groggy and have no clue that they just don't sleep well and it could be dangerous to them. So this sort of thing is kind of cool. Kind of reminds me of the opening video of this thing, by the way, like this launch event. Apple is doing this thing where they're like, yes, our devices are great. They could also potentially save your life. I think that opening video was such a weird dissonance of like happy dancing. And also, this person was saved from a heart attack while wearing an Apple Watch. Thank you, Apple. Both Apple's devices inspire joy, but also, no, literally, they can save your life. I feel like that was a little weird, but they also keep selling that with all these features, right?
Yeah, I think that's something they've been doing for a few years now. You get all of these cool creative tools, and also they can save your life if you happen to fall. Fall detection is a great feature.
It's a great feature. The crash detection, great feature. Yeah.
Yeah, they're great to have, but just the way Apple juxtaposes these life-saving features next to all the cool stuff you can do with your watch and your phone, it's just always rankles me.
It's a little weird. Google's doing it too, but they are less good at it, is the thing. Google tries to do a lot of the cool flashbang messaging and imagery and stuff, but it's either the like creative teams that they work with or their own internal teams just don't get it as much as Apple does. So the dissonance is there, but also I do not blame Apple for saying, yes, our devices can save your life, because in some cases they can. Surely so can most, you know, other devices that have similar fall detection or satellite calling too, which the Pixel phones have gotten recently. So this is not exclusive to Apple, but they did start doing a lot of this stuff earlier than other folks. Anyway, I'm kind of sold on the Series 10. I'm not at all sold on the 16 or 16 Pro this year, so I'm probably going to make that jump. Apple Watch, the Ultra Series 2, we didn't get an Ultra 3. It's just a new black case on that. The other big change was the AirPods 4. So plain old AirPods are now coming in two very confusing editions. Just plain AirPods. AirPods 4 with a new design, USB-C case. You get nod gestures. You have voice isolation automatically during calls. That's going to be $129. For $50 or more, you could get active noise canceling and a bunch of the AirPods Pro features within that too. And then that still leaves the AirPods Pro 2 still at $250, right? Although they go on sale often. Are you at all confused by this, Chris, or does it make sense to have like this, I don't know, gradation of AirPod that people can choose from?
I think Apple kind of painted itself into a corner a long time ago with the way it's been naming the AirPods. AirPods Pro, AirPods Max, AirPods 4. But now the AirPods 4 also has a version with ANC. So what do we call it? AirPods 4 with ANC. Like, it's not going to catch on.
You know? Even while they were talking about it during the event, like we are studiously watching these videos, trying to figure it out. And when the Apple representative started saying, there's also a version that has all these other things, and they just kept saying AirPods Pro or this model. And I think for 5 minutes, we were like, just say the name. What is it called? For the love of God. And it wasn't until we got the prices at the end where we saw just AirPods Pro, AirPods Pro with active noise cancellation. Very confusing. I'm not sure how they're going to sell that to buyers. And also, does that make sense? Does it make sense to spend $179 on an AirPods 4 when the Pro 2 often comes on sale? Like, you can get that for less than $250 pretty often. Does that model at all make sense to you, Chris?
No, I don't think so. I think either just have one AirPods 4 with ANC, find a price in between that, cut your losses a bit, maybe make it like $160 even. But then having the as you say, like the AirPods Pro 2, they're on sale so often and they come out, they get so cheap now that is it really worthwhile? Especially with all these new features that we're just seeing about that are coming to the AirPods Pro 2.
Mm-hmm. It's very, like, I wonder if they factor in the idea that AirPods go on sale pretty often. So AirPods 4, the one for $129, you'll probably get it close to $100, you know, towards the holidays and during some sales. The one with ANC, maybe will go down to $150. I just feel like this is like the eternal battle, right? Like, Apple rarely leaves money on the table unless it's like a game-changing type of device. And maybe in the Steve Jobs era, they would have just been like, hey, one, let's do one. Let's not be confusing. But now the Tim Cook era, the operations guy era, it is very much like some people don't care about ANC. You know, some people will rather save $50 rather than get that feature. And some people don't care about AirPods Pro, like the actually sealing your ears off. They'll just pay a little more to get some nicer features there. I don't know how well ANC works without sealing your ears is the thing. I have not tested these. I don't know about the shape of them. Do you have any sense of that, Chris? Like thoughts on just, they said they reshaped these AirPods based on photo analysis of many, many years. I have very little sense that this is actually going to work. Yeah.
Yeah, me neither. Like every other set of earbuds out there, even Beats, they come with different tips to fit in different size ears. So I really don't understand how they think they're going to make this work.
Yeah. I remember when the AirPods originally came out, a lot of people were like, hey, they're kind of like magic. They just stay in your ears. And I have very weird ears. And I realized one is like slightly larger than the other. And that alone made it really hard for AirPods. With other stuff like the Pros, you can put in different size buds or different size tips and like kind of get the seal there. A little confused by this, but I don't know. This is like the Apple thing. They don't want to leave money on the table. It's confusing. If somebody buys the 4 with ANC by mistake, happy accident for them, I guess. So there's that. I'd love to know what people think about that. Also, we got a quick update on AirPods Max. It is getting USB-C. It is not getting a hardware update. Now, that's interesting. So the AirPods Max, which is still $550, has USB-C. They have some new colors, but still running, I believe, they didn't mention otherwise, it still has the H1 chip in there and not the H2, which is in the AirPods Pro 2 and actually the AirPods 4 as well. So Apple's most expensive headphones can't do a lot of the audio features like the spatial awareness stuff that the ones half their price can do. That's kind of confusing. I don't know. Do you care at all about that, Chris?
I don't think anyone is clamoring just for new colors of the AirPods Max.
Yeah.
I think after almost 4 years, we'd expect some kind of update. Nice.
There you go.
Yeah, that's something they were going to have to do anyway with all the EU laws about charging cables and things like that. But to have no other updates after almost 4 years, like, what are you doing there, Apple?
What are you doing? I feel like it's just so expensive. Not many people are buying them, but I do see them around. Like, I see them at airports. I see them when I was in New York. Like, I saw them on public transportation. So, like, people were paying those crazy prices for it, even though you could spend, I don't know, $300 or $350 and get, like, the Sony ones, which are really great. Just a weird thing. But also part of me has been like, I really wonder what it would be like to live with those AirPods Max. I just don't want to pay $550. I'll pay 300 used, maybe. And now that they have new models, I don't know, maybe the used market will shift a little. I don't know. I don't know if at all. Anything else strike you as interesting from this event, Chris? That's it. This is the pretty, we are whelmed by this launch event. We've got the Apple Watch Series 10. We've got the iPhone 16 stuff. I feel like the Apple Watch Series 10 is the highlight, then the AirPods 4, then iPhone stuff. Any broader thoughts from you, Chris?
Yeah, I agree. I think the Watch Series 10 is the most interesting stuff, followed by all the new features they announced for the AirPods Pro, all the health-related features there.
Those are good.
Really interesting. Yeah, they're going to be helpful to a lot of people who can't afford $1,000 for over-the-ear hearing aids.
Yeah, and specifically those features, there are three new features. Hearing protection, which is going to be on by default. When you wear AirPods Pro, like your ears are already sealed, but they're going to do some computer analysis to actually block out loud things that you're into if you're bringing it to a concert. They say, keyword here, clinical grade hearing loss test and clinical grade hearing aid functionality with the AirPods Pro 2. And that's fascinating because I know good hearing aids cost a lot of money, certainly more than a pair of AirPods Pro 2. And this is coming to a device that a lot of people already have. They also, I don't think they limited it to the one that is the newer version of the AirPods Pro 2, right? There was one before that was Lightning and one that was USB-C. There was some differentiation there. And yeah, it's kind of cool that an existing device that's a year, a couple of years old now, can get this stuff. So I find that really compelling. Let's go to our chat, because I know chat has been talking about a lot of stuff. Okay, folks, we're going to wind down, but I want to know, what are your thoughts on this event? Anything you guys want us to answer while we're here? And Chris, feel free to shout out any other thoughts that you've got here too.
For sure.
I see people talking about an Apple Ring, like something that they should be doing. I think regular listeners of the podcast know that I am not sold on the idea of rings at all as activity devices. I think the Samsung Ring is a good example of like how limited it could be. Go check out our review of that thing. I feel like that would be a thing Apple would just skip entirely. What is beyond rings? Because the ring, the form factor itself seems pretty limited. Yep.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do with that size of device and the kind of sensors you can fit in there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty much it. And then charging is a pain. Sherlyn found that she basically had to take it off like whenever she was washing her hands and stuff. Just not a great form factor. It doesn't do as much as what a wrist device would. It's still like an annoying thing that you're wearing. Yeah, you shall see. I'm seeing from the chat here, big meh from Apple this year, according to Deeper at 9. Buddy305Love says the event was boring to them. I get it, folks. That's what we were all feeling. We've got a lot of news and coverage at the Engadget, at Engadget, so go check out the site. And we'd love to know what you all think about everything, so you can drop us an email at podcast@engadget.com. Sherlyn and Billy Steele are on site at Apple, so they're going to be doing some hands-on stuff. I really want to know what Billy actually thinks of the AirPods, because he is our sound guy, our headphone and speaker guy, so I'm sure he's going to have some good opinions here. Let me see here. Declan asks, have any of the prices gone up or down? They only mentioned the AirPods Max stayed the same. I'm pretty sure iPhones stayed the same. And AirPods have not shifted at all. $129 still sound. That's what AirPods cost right now, right? Well, at least nothing major here. It's a pretty ho-hum year for Apple. I feel like next year with the super thin iPhone, whatever they call that thing, that could be interesting. Is that more, you were saying, Chris, like that seems more compelling than a foldable iPhone to you?
Yeah, I think so. I think if we are going to see any fireworks from Apple this year, it's going to be in the next couple of months when they have their Mac events, their iPad events. Like, we're going to see M4 Max probably within the next couple of months.
Right, right.
But as far as today goes, it was kind of a wash.
I mean, it's partially a sign that Apple did a lot of things well last year, too. Hey, the AirPods Pro 2, still pretty good. The iPhone 15 Pro Max can still run Apple Intelligence, so that's great. And I feel like everybody is so focused on AI stuff. That's the thing. Like, Microsoft has been so focused on Copilot, Google has been so focused on Gemini, that the hardware itself seems like it's taking a step back, or at least only being upgraded to the point where it supports the AI dream. Okay, I hope that works out, but I think the benefit for users who don't give a crap about AI is that you can get an iPhone with more RAM and a faster processor than you could last year, and the chip itself is revamped, and they're not just reusing last year's chip. So that's a benefit for iPhone users. You get a camera button, you get a couple other things. But yeah, nothing super earth-shattering. I guess that makes life easier for us. I do wonder what we'll see with the M4 Max. It is very strange that Apple debuted that chip first on an iPad Pro. I'm looking forward to testing that hardware. What is it? We're at the beginning of the crazy tech fall season. Chris, what is exciting you as we wind this down? What are you looking forward to seeing over the next couple months?
I'm interested to see how Amazon is going to try to sell people on this paid version of Alexa.
No one's gonna do it. It's gonna die. It's gonna crash and burn. But yeah.
And what else do we have coming up? Microsoft, are we expecting anything?
We may get some Windows stuff. I don't know. I mean, we just had the big device thing. So the Surface, I traveled for that Surface event. They did all that. I think Microsoft wanted to own the middle of the year with a lot of the Copilot Plus news. We'll see the Intel chips coming that can support Copilot Plus. The PCs will be more interesting. I think we can draw some broad conclusions around AI. I don't think people actually want to pay for AI tools. I think it'll be a nice thing to have, and Apple Intelligence right now is kind of building it into the OS, into the hardware, but there's no Apple Intelligence Plus feed yet, whereas Google really, really wants you to pay for Gemini Plus or whatever the extra version of that is. Microsoft really wants you to do Copilot Plus, and try that for a while, and it's like a whole bunch of nothing. So yeah, it's the year of AI, as people are saying in the chat. Buddy305 Love says, make that work for you, I guess, folks. Don't rush out too early, like we were saying for the Intel Core Ultra PCs. Just wait a bit, because the Core Ultra 2 series chips came and they seem a lot better. Any final thoughts, Chris, about this event, or just like anything else happening this year that you can't wait to see?
One thing I can mention really quickly is Meta Connect is in a couple of weeks. Yes. And we're expecting to see Quest 3S there, which they've sold a ton of Quest headsets. Yes. And a cheaper version of the 3 is going to do great for them this holiday season. Mm-hmm. Also, tomorrow we could be hearing about the PS5 Pro.
Yes. In a 9-minute live stream from Mr. Mark Cerny. I love that they were like, hey, 9 minutes. That's all we got, buddy.
That's all we need.
Okay. Yeah. There's stuff happening. We are definitely going to talk about the PS5 Pro stuff if that actually happens at the main Engadget podcast. That's still going to happen. Join us, folks, Thursday around 10:45 a.m. Eastern, or just subscribe to us wherever you get podcasts. Chris, where can people find you on the internet these days?
Chris Holt, most places, although I'm posting less on Twitter and whatnot these days. But you can find me on Discord, too, where I'm Marty McDie instead of Marty McFly.
Oh, I love that. I'll try to find you there. I never do Discord stuff. But yeah, folks, if you enjoyed this, please be sure to subscribe to the Engadget Podcast. Drop us an email at podcastengadget.com and keep an eye out. We'll drop the new episode Friday, but live stream Thursday morning, 10:45 a.m. Eastern. Join us then. Thanks, folks. We're out.